Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to PGN, where we do it more than we talk about it. I'm Carmen. I'll be your host for tonight. And we'll begin with prayer. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for allowing us here tonight. We love you, Lord. We know we're excited about the things that you're going to do tonight to minister to your people. And Father, we ask you to just forgive us of our sins, of every word, every deed, every action, everything that is a sin, that is a debt, Lord, that you would wash us and forgive us. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Tonight, I wanted to talk about something. And let me put on Daniel's mic so that we can talk. I wanted to say how I had a family member that was struggling with unforgiveness, and how I just spoke to them about that it was important to forgive. This person is really struggling with someone else that they know. And tonight I felt like I needed to bring that word tonight to minister to those out there, because people don't realize that unforgiveness can be a trick of the enemy also. It's a way, a strategy for the enemy to hold us captive. And I'll explain why. And Danielle, you on? I'm going to do things a little bit different tonight. I'll be dialoguing with. Okay. So we're going to be talking back and forth about this subject, and you can jump in and say. But I was reading in Jeremiah 34, where the people of Israel had done a covenant with God. And so let me read some of it. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the days that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. At the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother who has been sold to him, and when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But they didn't do that. They took they made a covenant with God. That's serious business. You know, he set them free from bondage. But your fathers did not obey me nor incline their ear. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight. Every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure, and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slaves. So they were supposed to free their Hebrew brothers, right? God wasn't pleased with them. They were supposed to keep them free, you know, set them free, but they took them back and made them their subjects again. And so God was showing me about forgiveness in the same manner. And then further up on verse 20, it says, I will give them into the hands of their enemies and into the hands of those who seek their lives. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth. So I want to relate this to what happens with unforgiveness. It's important to forgive people. And when we do forgive a person, we need to understand that God is a just God, and he knows what he's doing. Forgiveness sets us free. God will forgive you as you forgive others. Do you remember the Our Father? I remember preaching about this before, about forgiveness, but I just sense that, you know, we really do need to understand that we deal with this all the time. It could be a coworker, it could be a child, it could be a family member, a friend, it could be a spouse, it could be anyone. And so there's bondage to the enemy when we don't. So the Our Father, let's take a look at what let's take a look at what forgiveness is. Something, it's something you give away to someone that doesn't deserve it. If you want peace, then you need to forgive. The world gives you many ways to deal with it, right? When somebody hurts you, they'll tell you how to handle that. But very few of them speak about forgiveness. Jesus wants us to forgive. You know, he knew how to forgive. Look at all the things that happened to him, the things that people did to him. And so he wants us to forgive. He knows how it feels to be treated wrong, to be rejected, despised. But Jesus taught us how to forgive, how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not our flesh, our fleshly desires, because the flesh wants revenge. And we can't give it what we can't give the flesh what it wants. And because if we do, then our hearts become hardened. The flesh doesn't like to forgive. It likes to hold to grudges. It feels good to the flesh, you know? So I'm going to give you three reasons why you should forgive. There's many more, but we'll just cover three reasons. They'll be enough, and trust me, once you hear them, you're going to realize why. Well, reason number one, because God forgave us. But our Father talks about it. Let's visit our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our debt, something we owe. A trespass, what does that mean? A trespass is to commit an offense against a person or a set of rules. Trespass is a sin or an offense, a violation of moral standard. Whose moral standard are we talking about here? It's God's way of living, according to what he has given in his word that he revealed to us, the right way that we're supposed to live. So when we cross that line, we become indebted, right? So indebted means you owe. Trespass means that there's a violation. So it says, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who trespass against us, who violate something, a way of God's way of doing things against us. So if we don't, we want our debt to be handled by God, then we have to forgive. We have to forgive the trespasses that others do. So Jesus says, I paid the price for what you owe, right? Then why are you having others indebted to you? Doesn't that sound like the man that was forgiven of his debt, but then didn't forgive the other person? Let's read it. Let's look at it. Danny, can you look at Matthew 18, verse 21? And read up till 35. I don't know. I left my glasses, and I'm kind of straining over here. Are you there?
Matthew 18:21.
21 to 35.
Okay. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down to his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison so that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
This is in Matthew. So do you, it's very clear. So when we don't forgive our brothers their trespasses against us, then our debt won't be forgiven. God will not forgive that. So it says here, how many times? 70 times 7. That's, if you do the math, it's 490. But that doesn't mean that you forgive 490 times and that's it. No. Each time that person does something, you're supposed to forgive them and forgive them. And you know what? We can't be hypocrites and, you know, live a life. Well, let's look at what a hypocrite is. A person who that's a hypocrite is a person that puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. They're pretending to be one thing and they're not. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her state beliefs or feelings. So a hypocrite is a person that pretends to have these qualities, these beliefs and feelings that they do not really have. I've heard people say, "Oh, I don't want to go to that church because they're a bunch of hypocrites." And those very same people later on fall short in the horrible sins later on. And they're hypocrites. You know, they're here wanting everybody else to be, have this standard of living before God, but yet they don't live it. They're exempt, I think, in their own mind. Does this hypocrite sound like Satan? Why imitate Satan? Let's imitate Jesus instead. I know. I heard this message. You probably say, "I've heard this message so many times before," but when we hear it again, it's because we haven't really gotten it. To forgive brings freedom from bitterness. That's number two. Bitterness won't take root in your heart. If you don't forgive, then bitterness comes into your heart. You leave the door right open for the enemy. Open door. Danny, can you mute yourself because I hear a lot of background noise. It opens the door for the enemy of your soul, of your mind, your will, your actions. It leaves an open door of bitterness, and it comes right in, and nobody realizes, that person doesn't really realize that they're bitter, but yet everybody around them can see it, can feel it, and you don't want to be that person. You don't want to open that door. But close that door, because that door will close the door to your blessings too. If you want blessings from God, then close that door to bitterness, that door to unforgiveness, and open that door to forgiveness. You're the one that's going to feel it. God will avenge you. You ever heard of this TV show way before I was born? It used to play. It was titled by Father Knows Best. Well, our Heavenly Father knows best. And he knows why he tells us to forgive. It's for us to stay free. So those that don't forgive, they have a feeling of pain. And usually these people are angry. You see this person walking around and they're just really viciously angry all the time. It could be because they have an unforgiving heart. Unforgiveness eats at us. It eats at our mind, our spiritual life, our health. It just messes you up. Some people even, they say that some people with unforgiveness tend to have arthritis in their joints, in their bones. They are like, just they can't seem to, you know, and they're constantly sick. It's not one thing, it's another. So it's like drinking poison. Be quick to forgive. Don't let the sun go down with unforgiveness in your heart. When you hurt because you've been betrayed or you've been rejected, don't take revenge. God can handle it. He's perfect. His justice is perfect. Give your heart to Jesus today. Don't wait. Give your hurt to him. Give your hurt to him. Don't get even. Or even something bad, when something bad happens to the other person, you're like, oh, good, that happened to them. They got back what they deserve. No. That should show you that you have unforgiveness in your heart. You pray for your enemies. You seek to do them good and not evil. That's true love. It doesn't mean that you have to have this warm, fuzzy love and that you have to invite them into your home and that, you know, you have to eat dinner with them. No, it's to do them good. And to do them good is forgiving them, even though they may do something again. Your Father knows best. So, Danny, do you have anything to say about unforgiveness?
Yeah, he's got me here on the Luke 6, 37 and 38, just reinforcing what you're saying. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen.
Read it again. That's really good.
Again, it's Luke 6, 37 through 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. But with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen.
Wow. So the measure that you give, it's going to be measured to you. So we really need to, if you want to be forgiven much, you need to forgive much. Amen. So do you want to say anything besides what you read?
I just think it's really the most challenging thing the Lord puts before us. More challenging when it involves family and friends. I mean, it's, it's hard, right? I think that's where we have to listen to the word, let us faith, test it, trust it, you know. I guess that's the only thing is that until you experience it and forgive those that have, you know, done something to you, your enemies, right, that's just a tough one, okay? And no matter how you look at it, it is a challenging, you know, thing before us, but the Lord tells us to do it, so. He says seven times whatever, okay? Or forgive your enemy. That one in itself, the words are just strong. But that's what the Lord asked us to do. So I think that's where he just tests us sometimes, you know? I think Psalm 11:5 says, The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked, the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So, yes, the Lord tests us, okay? You know, the why, who knows? But, you know, he wants us to be on the right track. Amen?
Well, he tests us so that we can, it's like a test. You pass a test, you go higher. And so God tests us so that we can go higher in him, so that we can be used more. And so the enemy has to shake. It's like I hear people saying, you know, new level, new devil. No, that's a wrong way of seeing that. That's a wrong way of looking at that. If you're a new level, then the enemy is going to tremble because you're at a new level. That's a good thing. It's not that, you know, new level, new devil. You have to worry about new devils. No, the enemy has to worry about you because you're in a better position. And so God tests you for that. You know, you pass the test, you go higher and higher. And so forgiving can be a challenge when you're not used to forgiving. But it's like a muscle. If you don't put it to practice and you don't use it, then it's going to hurt when you start using it. But the more practice that you use that muscle in, right, it gets stronger and stronger. And so that's why it's, I've been accused of not forgiving because they think that it's, you know, oh, well, because they look at me the way that, and I say, no, I forgive this person. And they're like, oh, yeah, huh? Because they're not very forgiving. But when you're used to forgiving people and you constantly forgive, sometimes you have to forgive that person over and over and over again until you leave them at the altar. And it's not an easy task at first, I think at first. But the more you do it, the stronger you get at it, and you become free. You become freer and freer as you do it, because then you understand, hey, I have this peace, and that peace comes because you're acting like your heavenly Father, like Jesus. You're acting like Jesus, and when you act like Jesus, there is peace. But when you don't, you don't have peace. You have bitterness. So I hope you take that message for today and maybe this week or next month or sometime this year, you might face something that at work or anywhere, and you'll remember this message. And I hope that you choose to forgive because it's for your blessing. You open the door to blessings, but when you're not forgiving, you close the doors to your blessings, and you open the door to the enemy. Simple as that. So anything else you want to say, Danny?
No, I think you've covered it very well. You're good.
All right. Well, let's take some calls tonight, and we'll start with 402-214. Your name and where you're from.
Hi. Carmen,
yes, your name and where you're from.
Hi, honey.
Yes,
this
go
is
ahead.
Sharon in New York.
Oh, hi, Miss Sharon from New York.
Honey.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me mute you, and then I'll call you back. I'll unmute you. All right. Before we pray for you. All right. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for our dear sister Sharon, Father God, from New York. Lord, we just thank you for her life, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for that protection. I just heard the song, I See You With an Umbrella. And it's almost like a see-through umbrella. You remember the years back, they used to make the bubble umbrellas where you could see right through them and you would be all covered up. Well, that's how I see you, Sharon, like you're in a bubble umbrella where you're covered up from the storms of life. And I hear you singing, I'm singing in the rain, I'm singing in the rain. You know how that song goes. Well, I feel like, and it says, what a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. Well, I feel like the Lord is protecting you. And there's joy coming, even in the midst of trials and issues in life coming at you. But you're learning to, like the song says, sing in the rain. So we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because Sharon is learning how to be joyful, not because of circumstances, but because of you, because you are her protector. You are the one that wherever you go, Father God, wherever she goes, you're there with her. You never leave her. You never forsake her. And we thank you, Father God, for that in the name of Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for Sharon?
Yeah, it took me to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So you're in the lead. You're running that race. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Miss Sharon, how are you?
Hi, honey. That was a nice, that was really nice. The singing in the rain. That's good. And the umbrella.
Yes,
no, running the race. That sounds right. You know, God is with me. Even though
yes.
It's pouring.
Yes, but you're happy. I saw you in the spirit and you were happy that it wasn't the circumstances. You're learning how to not let the circumstances dictate your joy.
That's good. That's good. I was listening
Amen.
To your talking about forgiveness. You know, that's a big thing with me. I've got that I work on. And so many people to forgive, you know.
Oh, but
and
there's
I do
a peace that comes with it.
Right. And
you
a
know,
sorrow. I feel
sorrow
for them.
When we don't forgive.
Right. For me.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, I think,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think, you know, how can you do that? You know, don't you know God sees everything you do, you know, and I feel sad for them. Even though,
well, we
you know,
pray.
I'm the one that was, what?
Yeah, but we pray. We're in a good place. Well, Jesus, many
right.
did him evil. They did him
right.
wrong. But he prayed for those that, you
know,
used him, that hurt him. He said, forgive them,
right.
for they know not what they do. He prayed for
right.
them. And so we have to have the same
yeah.
heart. It just, you know, when you look at a person that doesn't forgive, you see the effects of what that unforgiveness does to them.
Right.
They look almost different. Yeah. They look
right.
really different.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Like you
I
don't
do
want
too.
To be around them.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's almost like you're wearing smelly clothes, and everybody smells it except for you. You know how, you know, people
right.
get used to a certain smell, and their nose
yeah.
that can't tell. You know, you go into somebody's house and they may have pets and they don't realize that their home is smelly because of their pets. There's an odor, but they don't notice
right.
it. But as soon as you walk in, you're like, whoo, it just hits you. Well,
right.
unforgiveness is like that. It gets smelly. Everybody notices it except for the person because they're not realizing what it's doing to their heart.
Right.
So we need to pray for them.
Right.
And prayers do work.
Yeah.
Prayers do work. Sometimes we don't think they do, but they do work. We just need to be persistent until we see the manifestation, until the Lord allows us to see it, because it could be already at work. How many prayers haven't I prayed and they were working, and I was like, I stopped praying about something and then something turned back because I didn't realize that it was working. So prayers do work.
Yeah.
We need to pray.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes. You know, we don't see all the things that he protects us from. You know, we just go along not realizing that if God hadn't been there, you know, we'd be dead or worse. You know, there's things that the angels, that God protects us from, that we don't even know about.
And that's why we need to be concerned about other people when they use us and they trespass against us. Because we could be at the other end, and we don't want to feel that way, do we? We don't want to feel that way. So we pray for others. And it's just plain and clear. In the same measure that we do things, we're going to receive it. And so that's how we maintain in that blessing. You want to be blessed? You want to prosper? Forgive. That's one of the things you need to do, among other things.
Right.
So is there anything else, or a testimony or prayer? Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It just seems silly, but I know. I just believe God intervened, because I keep trying. I've been trying to call the city, and I get left on hold for 2 hours and sometimes even longer, and then they disconnect me, and I can't ever get through to anybody. So yesterday, I prayed out loud to Jesus to intervene, because I can't get through to these people. And, you know, they answered, and it was a positive outcome. So I was really grateful, and I really think it was God who did it, because I've been trying for 2 weeks, and I can't get through. So I know that may seem silly, but it was very important. Phone call, and I think Jesus intervened for me so I could get through.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask for prayers for my communications with people, the right words, the right things, to walls taken down, to bless my communications with people.
Okay. You know, I have a little, a story. I have a friend. She's an elderly lady. And I feel so bad for her, because she's been rejected by her son so much. I'm not sure what went on when they were young, when she was young. Raising him, but he really doesn't really want much to do with her. And the other day she called me, and so right away she wanted me to intervene. And I said, no, I can't. Let's put it in prayer. Let's allow God to intervene. And so it was hard for her to understand that. And she wanted immediate action, and that's the flesh wanting to take control and do things our way, our own way. But when we ask for prayer, we ask God, and we speak to God, he's happy, because he intervenes, and it gives him glory. And so that's what you did. That's why that reminds me what you just said, that you prayed, and you were trying all this time to get a hold of somebody, but no, you couldn't get anything. But you prayed, and then it worked. God,
right?
Because you acknowledged that you couldn't, but that God could, and he did. He came through for you, and that's how we're supposed to be, all things. And they may sound simple, and the basic things to walking with God, but sometimes we forget those little things. You know, even people that have walked with the Lord for many years, they forget. And they try to handle things in their own strength. Then when they're good and tired, then they turn to God. But that should be
right.
The first thing we do.
And I think that's partly
the
enemy does that. Mm-hmm. He tells us, oh, don't be bothering God about this, or, you know, that's silly. You know, I mean, trying to keep us from going to God with everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's happened to me. Where I'm thinking, you know, the thought's gone through my head, well, you don't need to bother him about this or that, or, you know. And
I can do it.
Yeah, you know, or God helps those who help themselves goes through your head, you know.
But you know what, actually,
that's
not biblical. I remember a family member saying that, and I said, where is that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. That's a saying that somebody, I think it was Benjamin Franklin, that had said something like that. And automatically people assumed that it was in the Bible. And there's nothing in the Bible that says that. So,
no,
you know, as we seek him and we seek his help, he helps us. He guides us. He shows us the way that we're supposed to go. But it's not that way. Yeah, but you got it. You got it. You tapped into it, and you got it. You understood it when you did it, and God showed you.
Yeah.
God showed you. Amen?
Yeah.
So, Father God,
amen.
In the name of Jesus, we lift up Sharon, Father God. She's asking, Father God, to be able to communicate with others, Father God. We just pray, Father God, that as she's spend time in your word, reading your word, and gaining wisdom from your word, that her vocabulary, her communications will begin to change, Father God. The more of the words, the more of words that will be just right for those that are hearing. And we thank you, Father God, for her time alone with you, reading your word, speaking to you, and in prayer. Father God, that she'll be led by your spirit into all truth in Jesus' name. Daniel, do you have anything for Sharon?
I just wanted to add, Father God, we just ask that, you know, as she speaks to different people, whatever the circumstance, Father God, let her words be your words, Lord. Let her just hear it coming out of her own mouth, Lord, and it just becomes almost automatic, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So you know, when you have the mind of Christ, you're seeking God. Your mind is for the things of God, and so your words are going to come out, you know, the way that God wants you to speak to them, in love, with forgiveness. Amen. And so keep that in mind and just understand that you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. So
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Father God. We're going to hear the testimonies of how Sharon spoke to someone and ministered to them in a special way, Father God, that it's going to be godly communication. In Jesus' name.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Godly communication.
Okay. Thank
Amen.
You so much, both of you. Okay.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good night.
God bless. Good night. Good night.
Okay.
All right. You want to give me one moment this thing? It takes a while to. Okay. Let's see. All right. There we go. All right. 804-218-38, go ahead. Your name and where you're from. 804-218.
It's AMG from Virginia.
Hey,
can
Ms.
you hear
AMG?
Me? Yay, how are you?
God bless you. Let me put you on mute, and then we'll come back to you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie from Virginia, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. We just thank you, Lord, for she is still growing. There is still fruit in her life. And I just see you, you know, like people picking at you, but it's the fruit in your life. They're picking at you. That's how I see you right now. And I thank you, Father God, for that fruit that others can pick from and can take with them and have a seed of their own so that they can grow too, Father God, the seed of your word, Father God, that word that comes out of Miss Angie, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, for the healing that comes out of her, Father God, towards others, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, that you're moving in her life in a special way in these last days, Father God, that is much needed. I thank you, Father God, for her ministry of healing in Jesus' name. I ask you to bless her, Father God. And, Father God, that others will recognize that anointing that is in her life, Father God, for that healing, Father God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for her life. In the name of Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for Miss Angie?
Yeah, right when you were saying that, I was also on Luke. I'm in Luke 6:43. A tree is known by its fruit. The good tree does not bear bad fruit, but does a bad tree bear good fruit? For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Amen.
Miss Angie, what I see is like, you know how the scripture says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I see you as a branch full of fruit. And every time someone picks a fruit from you, it's like almost like that branch is giggling like you giggle. It's almost like a joy. It's a joy that you find when that fruit is being picked off from the branches, from your branches. So we thank you, Father God, for the blessing of Miss Angie, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for her life, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you encourage her even more to seek more, that she be led by you, Father God, to know, learn more, to touch the lives of people around her. We thank you, Father God, for this end time gift that you're giving her, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's see. Hello, Miss Angie. How are you?
Hello. How are you guys?
Good, good. Hey, what are you, what you been up to?
Well, just kind of, I guess having moments, I don't know. I've had, you know, I was thinking about the still waters, you know, for a while.
The still
you
water?
Know, Jesus called, yeah, the still waters, but I have a different scenario of looking at it now. You know, it's like when you're in the storm, you keep your eyes on Jesus, but make sure, but rest assured where he's leading you to, the still water, so you can sit and drink, and that's to have a reflection moment. Because you can't drink, and they say that a good shepherd knows that their sheep, when they're thirsty, they have to lead them to the still water because sheep won't drink in ruffled waters.
Mm-hmm. Or muddied waters. Yeah.
You know, they build up rocks or whatever, make a little pool for them to drink from that's still, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, I've been thinking about that.
You know. About the still water.
I can reflect it to my own life, you know. When things are real stormy and stuff, the only thing you can do is have that moment of, you know, just trust Jesus and ride it out. But when you get to the wisdom of the matter, it's when you sit down and reflect and, you know, get still before him.
That reminds me of the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. When we're still, then we can know that he is God. Then we can see the miracle, like he did with Moses. You know, he told them, be still, know that I am God. And so when we are still, we are at peace, then we can hear him. But when we are in anxiety and all this crazy stuff all around us, it's hard to hear God, and we don't know where to go. But when we're still, we know what God is saying. Just be still. We're like sheep.
Yeah,
we have to be still, like you were saying.
Like today, and I got just several different types of downloads that was, you know, really good. I should have wrote down all I got because it was really amazing, but I didn't write it down, so I can't tell you what it was.
You probably will
but
get
if you poke
it,
around, it might fall off. I don't know.
Oh, Miss Andy. I heard your testimony the other day with Prophet Randy. That was awesome, of how God was healing you and restored you. It seems like he's always doing something. Even on my show, I remember one night you weren't feeling well and you were healed. So it's easy for you to receive from the Lord. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't hear that.
It might look easy from where you're sitting, but let me tell you, lady, it's not where I am. Make them alone see you sweat.
Well,
huh?
I'm glad. I love that testimony. It was a good testimony. That was very
encouraging. Today's the 21st. This is when I called into the show.
Oh, okay.
The 21st, because I couldn't wait for Randy to get on to find out if I was a nut or not. But I'm all right. You know, that didn't dissolve me from being a nut, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Oh, Did I hit a whole new level?
So what have you been up to lately with the new things that the Lord has showed you, you know, about health and healing and all that? I know
I've just been in kind of a resting mode and I'm not trying to, I'm just listening and seeing what's next, what we're going to get into next, dun, 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 dun. so that you can rescue me, because of course, you know, when I get into something, I usually need to be rescued. You started out to be a good thing, but I'm knee deep now.
Give us some ideas of the latest things. I mean, I know that you know, but we're not with you all the time. So bring us up to date with the things that you've learned. I love listening to the things you teach.
Like where you were talking about the forgiveness and having unforgiveness. You know, I was in an altercation back in. This is a testimony about that. It's like. You know, and it was with my niece, and it ended up involving my sister, and it just turned into a big mess, you know, and I was justifiably right. Let me tell you, I was justifiably right.
But the thing of it is that when I slammed that thing, I heard the Lord speak, woe to those who cause the fence, and woe to those who take it. It's a double stop. It don't matter which end of the pole you're on that, whether you're the offensive one or the offend, you know what I'm saying? So it made me stop in my tracks. So, you know, you have to, the forgiveness, going through forgiveness has different layers of it. And, of course, when somebody hits something on us, when we need to be healed, we have a reaction. If we're constantly hitting those places on somebody that needs to be healed, there's going to be a reaction, and it may not be pretty, you know. And so you can't, you know, you have to learn that what somebody's act or actions or reactions says more about them than it does you. And if you try not to take things personal. And I've been working on that, and I feel like I've grown in that. I feel like, you know, I might be in the potty training area now.
Well, we do need to understand that that it takes time, and, you know, it's like a muscle. If you've never used it before, you're going to be weak at it. And so we have to practice forgiving and do it over and over and over and over, where it becomes, you know, normal for us to forgive. But it's uncomfortable when we don't do it often and we don't forgive other people. And you know that you're not forgiving because there's no peace. There's no peace.
Well,
there's sense, no peace.
Right. And there's also a sense of, you know, it's not about, a self-righteous moment either, you know. That's not, you know what I'm trying to say when that kicks in too. You know, it's one thing to, I'm just learning how to calm that little bit of a fire spitball down a little bit, I guess. You know,
but
that,
we know that we're truly forgiving. When something happens to another person, you don't rejoice.
No.
You
don't
rejoice.
You weep, like,
you pray, oh,
you
hurt.
You really feel the pain of that. Uh-huh. There was this young girl that I had an issue. I had my grandchildren staying here, and there were, I don't know how to explain it, but some of the friends were thuggish. So when there was a problem between her and her baby's father, that came into my yard, and I ended up getting beat up. So, yeah, so that was real ugly, and, you know, I had to work through a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, I had to learn to forgive things that were a little hard. But the young girl, when, by the time we got to court, you know, I had gotten over it. I wasn't angry. I wasn't bitter with her. And the prosecuting attorney asked me to drop the charges. Would I be willing to drop the charges if they would, you know, put her through a program? And I said, absolutely I would. I said, because the whole point is if she doesn't get any help, you know, she's going to end up, if you don't get her some help, she does that to somebody else, she's going to end up dead. Well, I think it was about a year and a half later, I heard that she was in the hospital and she was in a coma and she died.
Aww.
You know? And it just saddened me, you know, because, you know, I even really wanted to go to the hospital. But, you know, when you're in gang-related stuff, unless you know their name, and, you know, I knew her name, but I didn't know the, you know, her room number. And if you're not privy to that, they have a code, and you won't be able to visit them. So I couldn't go see her. But I did feel, you know, I didn't want to go pray for her, which, you know, I felt like, you know, I didn't feel
you
like
know.
I felt the sorrow of it. You know what I mean? I didn't feel happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It didn't bring me joy. It brought me sadness to hear that.
Yeah. I knew two ladies. The same thing happened to them. They were beaten up by their spouses, and they died. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you go back and take more abuse, that you forgive them. You forgive them, but you take yourself to a safe place. You know, you release them in your spirit. You release them and wish them well. You don't wish them evil. But these ladies did not know the difference, you know, with loving themselves and forgiving others. They felt that they had to go back to their abusers. And a lot of times when people are abused, they don't know. It's like a confusion of how they're supposed to love and how they're supposed to forgive. And if anybody out there is being abused of any kind, don't stay in that abusive relationship. Yeah, you do forgive them, but you don't stay there. That doesn't mean you take more. Mm-hmm. You are nobody's doormat.
Oh, no. I was moving them out. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they ended up the boyfriend, I guess, came over here. It was his younger brother with a young girl, and they came over here to try to bully, you know, the situation. And it turned out to be really ugly. So, and I ended up, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I just, you know, it just came in my yard. I didn't know what was going on when they walked up. And I just said, I don't think Cece wants to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she wants to see you. I don't think she wants a present. And then all of a sudden they started, you know, attacking me. So I don't know what the deal was, but.
Yeah, because there's a lot of confusion there. Where there's a lot of fighting and, you know, people doing things to each other, there's a lot of confusion. And whoever tries to get in there is like trying to get an angry dog by the tail. You're going to get bit by it.
Yeah, you need a water hose and stand back.
This one lady that I knew, she was in a church. This one lady that was one of the ministers in the church took her into her home, and she was like helping women that were battered and abused and opened her a home for them. Well, this lady cleaned up her act. She was doing so good. She was learning how to find a job for herself, and, you know, she was really helping her. But the boyfriend or the husband, I don't know which one it was, came back and lured her back. And when he did, she got killed by him.
Oh.
She got killed by him. So she was walking in the church. She was doing so well. And they warned her, don't go back, don't go back. But she didn't listen. She needed deliverance. And that's one of the things that I see that churches really do need to step it up is with deliverance, because you're going to be attracted to those things back again. If these people are not being set free and they're not in some kind of a program to show them, you know, how bound they are and that they need freedom, and that and then experience the freedom and not go back to those things, then, I mean, I don't care how much you preach to them. If those things are still there, they're going to be pulling all that back into them, you know? And so this is what happened to this beautiful lady and really nice lady. She was doing so well, and she was killed by her boyfriend. But the other one was a husband, and her daughter found her dead with bruises. I guess a blood clot went and killed her. So he beat her up where the blood clots killed her. But this is not what I'm trying to
make it clear that forgiveness doesn't mean that you put yourself back into that place where you were doormat.
No. Forgiveness is an inside work. It's not that outside. It's that inside work that's
done in us.
That you need to do, that inside work of, where you, I'm trying to think of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know how maybe when you're little or something, I can tell you, I used to think that my mom had children just because she needed somebody to do her housework. but she was really just training. And so you get some bad feelings and some bad thoughts and all that kind of thing, going on. So, in those moments, is what I'm, talking about in that offense moment of, the attitudes, your emotions, the outcome, the end result, of things when there's issues that today are the way to handle them and to take them and to work them out, too.
Among family, like Daniel was saying, it's hard because when there's unforgiveness, the children may not understand why, they think that they're being offended by their parents. And in fact, like you just said, it's not that they're offending you. They're trying to train you, but you're being rebellious and you don't want to listen. But from their point of view, they don't see it that way. They don't see it that way,
mm-hmm.
Or a young woman or a young man that then. Go ahead.
My sister and I both were in agreement in that. We had to clean, but she was teaching us how, you can't just use a feather duster on it. You take everything off, you wipe everything and put it back, and you wipe the whole thing. Then you put the things back individually and reset them. That's dusting.
Yeah. And, that's among parents, right? But then there's the spousal thing where, they do things to each other. And when you don't forgive, that's just going to let the sun go down with your anger. You need to forgive because the enemy works overtime. He doesn't want you to, deal with things. Yeah, exactly. And so and that's why there's divorces, because you never knew that this other person was holding on to such anger. And instead of saying something and forgiving, they were walking in the flesh, and that became bigger. That giant became bigger and bigger until it really ruined them. And that bitterness destroyed that person. They thought that they were destroying the other person, but they were destroying themselves.
Absolutely.
And in the process, they destroy other people, too, with their bitterness. That little demon of bitterness is contagious to others. It just loves company. So we have to be real careful in our marriages, in our relationships with our family, coworkers. We never know when that little spirit wants to come up and try to cause some trouble. We need to forgive right away because it gets added
Absolutely.
On. If you don't forgive, then it just starts ruining a relationship and it creates walls.
I think we're looking at a generation that could absolutely say that rest, a pause, some quiet time is definitely needed. Because,
mm-hmm.
Without getting into that presence and getting into that still place, you can keep your eyes on Jesus, but you're gonna be running through the storms. You gotta follow him to the still water to get the healing and the restoration.
But they fill their time with social media. And there's no time for anything.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not just social media, video games, and
movies.
You know, just being busy running here, running there, being real busy, you know, looking productive, but really just like a hamster on a wheel.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah.
It's
real important for that still place.
This one young man was like from work. He was like, "What's the matter?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm so tired." And I'm like, "Tired of what?" He goes, "Oh, I stayed up on my phone all night." And I go, "There you go." I go, "Stop being on your phone and then you'll be rested and you won't feel tired." And he started laughing. But, you know, they're doing it to themselves and they don't even realize. Like you said, they're on a wheel, like a hamster wheel. And they can't get
right. And, you know, and I think that if we have in folks in our families or in surrounding situations or whatever, maybe just, you know, say you need to, you know, steal yourself. Just because, see, when you go to church, you remember how your mama used to reach over there and pop your leg and tell you to be still because you're wiggling and not. Well, maybe she didn't have to pop your leg, I guess.
Or the look.
I got
or
my
the look.
Yeah, or the
look. Like, wait till I see, get you home.
We had a country church. They would pick. I've actually had my daddy leave the choir, walk down the aisle, pick me up, and take me outside. You know. And some of the other kids would be screaming, you know, because their other parents would do it too. No, Daddy, no. Because if you had to be taken out of church, it was the time for mercy was over with. It was action.
Oh, my goodness. Is there anything you want to pray about or a testimony you want to give?
Well, the only I have several testimonies. I could keep you. I have lots of stories. That's what my friends say. You ought to write a book because there sure are some funny stories. I mean, you know, I can keep you entertained because they're always it's wacky and crazy. But God seems to work it all out. You know. He's able to use a lot of things in with his skill and talent. You just have to be somebody willing to go, okay, I'll do that. So I have, I'm just real thankful about the healing and the manifestation of healing and that I've experienced it in the physical sense. And then when I felt I've been going through it in a deep, soul all the way to, I don't know, to a deep level of exchange to really let things go, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's getting, pulling yourself away, taking time, you know, and just be present before the Lord, you know. It's good. It's good to do a lot of praying, but there comes a time to sit down and listen a little bit and listen
yeah.
to what he wants to deal with. And that's what I've been working on.
Yeah, I find myself talking less.
Getting my leg popped and say, quit wiggling. Huh? Excuse me?
I'm trying to, when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I try to say less. I'm like, I finally realized no matter what I say, it doesn't make any difference. What he has to say makes all the difference. So,
that's right. After you run out of all your reasons and rhymes and excuses, you know, here comes the Lord to just settle you right now, right? That's what he does with me. Let me straighten you out of this a little bit, you know. And I'm thankful because it doesn't. It's a gentle way, and it brings healing. And it, you know, it actually, it's like a breath of air. It's not done with a heavy hand or condemnation. It's done with love and restoration.
It's like what Prophet Randy was talking about, the breath of air, the breath of life, the breath of life.
Right.
Well, when God comes in, he breathes into us life. It's funny because we were looking at a video, Daniel and I, he shared a video with me of this chiropractor. He was dealing with this one lady that had a stroke. He has many patients. He shows many videos. His English is kind of pretty bad, but you can understand what he's saying. And she had a stroke, and so her hands weren't working. Her leg, her walk, everything was affected by this stroke. And he would touch her, and everywhere he would touch, she was like, ow, ow, ow. And once he first touched her to prove that there was pain there, and then went and did the chiropractor alignment. But the key to it all, he said, you know, once your body's traumatized with stroke, whatever, you know, an accident or whatever, your body has blockage that doesn't allow the flow of blood going through and bringing life into those areas. So once he does the chiropractic alignment, he tells her the trick to the whole thing is learning how to breathe, how to deep breathe in order to push that new blood going into those areas that were once blocked. And I tell you, the lady, then he started touching her, and she wasn't feeling any pain in those areas. She was doing so much better. She was really happy. And so that's the thing that this doctor recommends, to learn how to breathe deep. And that reminds me of the breath of God. When the breath of God comes in, he brings life into those areas that are blocked. You know, we may have like an emotional healing that we need, and when the breath of God comes in and just unstucks those blockages, those traumas, we can have life, you know, and it affects everything, even our brain. And the things that we eat affect the way we think. And so I was sharing that with Prophet Randy, and I sense that, you know, we really do need to pay attention to the way that we allow God's, you know, presence in our lives to allow us to bring life into our situations. I shared that with him, but there was something else that I wanted to say about that. Daniel, do you remember what we were talking about? About that video?
I remember the video. I'm not sure what for you. Yeah, I'm here. I said, I don't know where you're going with the question, but the okay. Doctor compared it to like a fish, you know, needs to be in water to function right. And he was just explaining to the lady that, you know, our bodies, the main food that we need for these bodies that we have is oxygen. And so that was critical. And it was it's actually an amazing video to watch, you know, as Carmen was describing it, where the lady was going from pain and stuff to not having the pain, and she had begged her husband to take her to this doctor. I'm not sure even where he's at or how they got there, but it was just, you know, amazing to watch him work. Silly at times because of his broken English, but you know, it just shows that, you know, how the body works, okay? And then, so like Carmen's saying, so when the Lord works with us, I mean, he gives us that breath of life too, and we just need to run with it, because we're you know, doing what he's asking us to do. We become his vessels, right? So I mean, it all, you know, everything flows, everything has to flow. And that just, you know, I guess the main thing I got that is that, you know, wherever there's a blockage, you gotta unblock it and let it flow, because otherwise, you know, It's like in anything. If you block the flow, you know, trouble begins. So I think that's what, you know, more likely just we have to allow the Lord to unblock us sometimes.
I know this one lady that years ago, she had cancer. And one of the things she told me that her doctor told her that she needed to learn how to breathe deep. Because a lot of people that had cancer tend to forget how to breathe. And when you don't get oxygen, then there's no flow. There's no nutritional, you know, that oxygen brings life into your, you know, throughout your whole body. Your blood needs the oxygen. And so I found that really odd that she would say that. But she would say that her anxiety would have her hold her breath. And she would just and forget to, you know, release her breathing. So for some reason, I guess some people that have had cancers, they don't know how to breathe. They don't know how to deep breathe. And a lot of people, this doctor has other patients.
Well,
he
I don't know if it's so much
breathe.
All cancer. Uh-huh. Because I would find myself holding my breath. After my accident, during that time
trauma.
Of going through, you know, it took about 5 years, the trauma of it, you know, but I had a goose egg, you know, underneath my breastbone, too, and I could pressurize it and go around to my, and it messed up in the C area, which has something to do with, or your T area, it has something to do with, you know, how you can take a breath. So it was actually an attack on my breath, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my stepdaughter would say, you know, breathe, you know, you're not breathing, you know, and I would, you know, oh, take a breath, you know, because I would find myself holding it, you know.
Yeah.
It was a lot of trauma going on during that time. That, you know, it wasn't just the accident. It was the accident, trying to run a business and a husband at the same time with cancer. It was like, there was nothing but trauma and drama, you know, all around. And it was
there you go.
That I couldn't. I had a hard time drawing my breath, you know, or when I would draw it to release it. I could draw it in, but I couldn't release it out, if that made sense.
Wow. Wow, wow,
so,
wow.
You know.
But, yeah. I remember that lady with cancer that had cancer, that was one of the things that her doctor told her to breathe, to deep breathe. So I noticed that
right.
In this video, the same thing, this doctor was telling the lady that to learn how to breathe, that he would go, you know, like a quick breathe in and then slowly release it. And I was like, why breathe in so quickly? I guess it's to force those areas that were recently blocked through the chiropractic, the manipulation that he did in her body caused it to, you know, help push that blood flow into those areas. But there was another part. What was it, Danny, that you noticed from that video that you got from the breathing? Daniel.
I'm drawing the blank. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, remember what he was saying about the breathing, what that each night you needed to breathe, you
oh,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the morning.
Okay, so I got you. Anyway, so he was saying in the morning when he wakes up, the doctor was saying that he takes several deep breaths, right? And before he goes to sleep at night, he takes several deep breaths. And that helps them sleep and not have the body aches and pain. So as a witness, okay, I started doing that. And I was telling Carmen, wow, it's amazing. After a long day, I would, you know, be at five or six of these deep breaths. I slept very well. And then I started doing it in the morning, and I slept very well. But what really got my attention is that I measure my blood pressure every morning just by habit. I noticed that went down, okay? So now, before I go to sleep, and when I wake up, I take these deep breaths and kind of like, you know, stretch my arms through, like, you know, to all the extremities, make sure that oxygen gets there. it's such a simple thing, but it seems to be working, you know. So it's just, a simple fix to a lot of issues. So my back doesn't hurt when I wake up in the morning and stuff. It's just that simple task, and the feelings are immediate. Amen.
But we give this the glory to God because, you know, we've been praying about different things, and he's showing us, and even Prophet Randy's talking about it. So you got to tune in to his shows because he's on to something. And when I hear him, I'm like, you know what? That's similar to what we're encountering, you know, the bit with breathing. But, you know, things within our own strength is not right. It's seeking God, and he leads us and guides us through natural ways. And that's why I love the things that you present to us when you come on the show, Miss Angie, because you give us insights of what God has shown you through natural remedies. And so that is the Lord. That's God. I don't know about those people that are in the world doing it in their own strength, but when God guides you to doing certain things, that's God. The glory is for God. And so I think Prophet Randy's onto something. It affects the brain. Our breathing affects the brain. Drinking water. I always believe that there's parallels from the physical world and the spiritual world. Drinking water, the water of the word. When we drink water, when we exercise, they say we need to drink water to release those crystals that get lodged in the joints. Breathing, that's good. The breath of God, you know. So there's parallels. There's things that God, I believe, is trying to show us so that we can have a better life naturally, and not depend so much on medication. And yeah, doctors are good. They're going to save your life. They're great. They got medicines and stuff to keep you alive, but they are not well trained on how to keep a body healthy. They know how to medicate and preserve a body, but they don't know how to, they're not trained for that. So we need to be take more charge of our own health and allow God to lead us in the ways that are right for our bodies. Everybody may have something different, but God always leads you in the right way. And so, through prayer, we need to pray for Prophet Randy and pray for ourselves, you know, that we will learn these things the way that God wants for him to receive the glory in all that we say and do. So, breathing is very important. So breathe in the morning when you wake up. And some people actually need sleep apnea machines because they're either too overweight or they have some kind of ailment. And when your body is trying to breathe because you have sleep apnea is where you stop breathing. And
absolutely.
You have a lot of those episodes, throughout the night, you wake up feeling tired, like you didn't sleep. So sometimes it's good to go to the doctors and they'll provide you a machine where you can, you know, it forces you to breathe when the machine recognizes that you're not breathing. So it forces some air and you're continuing to breathe. If you do not have something to assist you, what ends up happening is that your heart works harder and it grows. You know, like any muscle that is over exercise, it grows. You know, if you lift weights, those muscles grow. Well, the muscle of the heart is also something that will grow if it's used a lot. And so if a person doesn't have something to, you know, like a sleep apnea machine to assist them, their heart will grow bigger and actually grow bigger in size. I know I had an aunt, my dad's aunt, that had sleeping and snoring. She was snoring all that. But back then, they didn't have sleep apnea machine, and she passed away of a big heart. So because her heart enlarged, she probably would have lived longer if she would have known about these things. So the doctors are good, But Dr. Jesus is even better because he'll heal you of all that stuff.
They say there's a it's about the energies and your the different everything has a sound, which is which I'm starting to think that that's a truth because at the beginning God was the Word, and you know what I mean, and then the Word was made flesh. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. You know, and it was a sound.
Well, when
Michael was diagnosed with the cancer, and they said, you know, lady, we're just trying to get you a year. We paid for someone to come with a frequency thing to put on Michael. He didn't die of the cancer. He died from the treatment.
Hmm. Well, I knew
it was a lethal dose. They gave him lethal dose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I had my way. He had, you know, he did his way, and you know, he then agreed to do this way, and the cancer was gone, but you couldn't undo the radiation. Or we didn't find a way of redoing it or undoing it or anything. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but we weren't successful in that aspect of it.
I watched a documentary of a man named Gerson, Max Gerson. He was German. And in Germany, he would treat his patients with apples, you know, eating apples. And as long as they ate apples, they would get better. But when they started eating the German diet, they started getting sick again. So he even healed himself because he had gotten sick. But things got really rough for him in Germany where other doctors didn't want him around because they didn't, you know, they wanted the patients to get medications from them. That's where the money was. And so he moved. And he came to the United States, and the same thing happened here. So he moved to Mexico and began a clinic where he took patients with cancer and started giving them juices and cleansing them out with coffee enemas and things like that to get them clean from eating all these dead foods. So it was fresh carrots, fresh apples, things that were squeezed. They have special machines where they would just press them and squeeze out the juices from them, and that's all they ate. And a lot of them went into remission. So his daughter continued that, and she was like in her 90s. I don't know if she's still alive, but she was still doing it well into her 90s. A very strong lady. Her name was Gerson, Charlotte Gerson. And so she continued the clinics in Mexico. And now there's a lot of different types of clinics that do that. And they do chelation and a whole bunch of other stuff. But the thing is that we maintain, we maintain our health by doing the right things for our bodies, not wait till we get sick and then decide that we want to start doing the right thing. Then, you know, sometimes it's pretty much too late for some people. But,
well, as your grandma used to say, because they say the stitch in time saves nine. We're not much stitchers. We'll go buy a new shirt. But back in the day, they fixed the shirt. They didn't throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
So that saying, a stitch in time saves nine.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have to, you know, hear from the Lord and, you know, have him help us to guide us because he made our bodies. He knows exactly what our bodies need. And so maybe it might be different for each different person because we have, you know, different DNAs and, you know, traumas from different things that have happened to us, you know. And so as we spend time in the presence of the Lord, these things fall off from us. You know, some things will be harder, some things are easier, but, you know, stay in the word, people, stay in the word, you know. Stay away from all this stuff in social media. I'm just scared. The other day, my daughter wanted me to look at something on TikTok because she has an account. She says, well, you need to get the account. I got the account, opened it, and I was like, this stuff is weird. I took it off. I deleted it. I was like, this stuff is really weird stuff. I'm like, what do people have any business watching these things? These are just a waste of your time. TikTok, yeah.
Now,
I like
the little inspirational ones, and I like the ones that tells you how to, you know, because they got it. I guess it's all about what you click on, or, you know, but they piggyback off of one another. But that's what I'm saying. That's what you know. They're different ones. I click on, you know, they're inspirational. Some, you know, recipes real quick, how to make a tincture of this or a tincture of that, or, you know, tips how to do things. Now those are, you know, just like it's kind of like you got to pick the good, you know, the good from the. It's kind of like you got to cherry pick out of there. But it does have some good things, but not, you know, a lot of it is silliness. Silliness are either nasty, but, you know, there are some good things in the midst of it. Huh? Yeah, it'll eat your time up.
Yeah, before you know it, 2 hours went by. I'm like, what? I'm trying to look to find something worth watching. I'm like, no, get out of here. Click, delete. Click, delete.
That's why they call it a web. Before you know it, the spider says, I've got the fly.
Exactly. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Miss Andy? It's been good talking to you.
No, I was just, you know, calling in to get prayer and say hello, and I don't forget what you prayed over me now. Something about picking fruit and giggling. I do remember that now.
The fruit. I saw you like a vine and fruit and being picked. So just allow yourself to be picked.
And me giggling makes sense because when I went to get my first pedicure, all I could do was giggle. Everybody in there was laughing by the time I left out of there.
I said, cool, not Pete.
They ought to pay me just for the entertainment and give me mine for free.
All right. All right, Miss Angie. So it's been good to hear you.
Good to hear you too. Thank you, Daniel.
All right. Well, God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you, Karma.
Be blessed.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Our next caller is 202-557. Your name and where you're from. This thing is really slow tonight. It's still not. Give me one moment. Doing all kinds of weird stuff. Okay, now we're rolling. 202-557, your name and where you're from. 202-557. Your name and where you're from? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up 202-557. We just thank you, Father God, for their lives. Father God, we just thank you. Lord, something about a train. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that the Lord is taking you on a journey with Him. It's going to be fast. I believe it's for ministry. But not like the way you think it's ministry. So just be aware that God uses us sometimes to minister to other people. in different ways that's not the normal church. And so be prepared, because when God decides to take you and use you, it's going to be fast. Like when you get on a train, you go fast. So, and if you're not waiting and you're blinking, the train came and it left. You have to wait for the next train. So the Lord is wanting to use you, and just be make yourself ready in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. 202557, are you there? Okay. Well, I already prayed for them. I have other callers on the line. Some of them have dropped. They didn't wait. If you want ministry tonight, please place your hand up. Otherwise, I won't be able to take your call. I will not take your call if your hand's not raised up. All right. Okay. Daniel, do you have anything for 202557?
Yeah, just something about peace for them. So I'm in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So seek the Lord and you'll find that peace that you're needing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I guess they're sleeping. All right. Let's see. All right. There's been other callers, but they dropped out. They didn't wait. I guess they got too tired or maybe had another call. All right. If there is not going to be anybody else tonight, we have enough time. Raise your hand. I'm going to play the song, and then I'll come back and check on if there's any other callers. All right. All right. We're back. If anyone needs ministry tonight, dial 1 on your phone keypad, and it'll let you into the queue. There's been calling going in and out. If you want ministry, I will not pick your number unless you have you dial 1. That lets me know that you want ministry tonight. All right. Okay. Here we go. 469-553, your name and where you're from. 469-553.
Hi, this is Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Miss Barbara. Okay. Give me a minute and I'll put you on mute. Okay. Okay. Father God, we thank you for Miss Barbara, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the bread of life that that lives in Miss Barbara, Father God. I just see her holding a basket of bread, and I sense that that you, Lord, are using her for your glory to give the words of life, the words that bring life, that feed the hungry. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for that bread of life that she's sharing with other people, that she's going to be sharing with other people. And I thank you, Father God, for the multiplication of that bread in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life, Father God, that the best is yet to come, that I just sense that God is going to do greater things in your latter years than in your former years, that you are going to do greater things in your latter years than in your former years. And we thank you, Father God, for her life, Father God. I just see that you holding a basket with bread. Daniel, do you have anything for Miss Barbara?
I've got, real quick, to Luke 17:21. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Amen.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Barbara, you there? Yeah, I saw like you holding a basket of bread. Not bread, bread, the bread of life. Bread. Like
thank you, Jesus.
Nice hot loaf of bread, you know, for the hungry. And so what are you up to, Miss Barbara?
Well, I was reading Luke 9 and 1 through, I guess, 5 or 6, when the Lord was talking about sending forth the 12 disciples. and then it was basically talking about the bread. He said that take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrips, neither bread, neither money, neither the 2 coats, but whatever you have, just go, just do it. And I said, Lord, he came so close to the bread. And they were feeding, the 5,000 and the apostles. When they returned, they told him what they had done. When they went for healing the sick and, you know, and the power that, and the authority that God had given them over the devil to cure also diseases and preach the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, praise God. It was so close about the bread because it is in there. And I had stopped so I could answer the phone, you know, push 1. And I was almost over here on 9 and 10 of Luke, talking about feeding the 5,000. Lord, that was so close.
Yeah, I've seen Luke 9:16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the new fish and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude, so they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of
of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Wow, there was leftovers. A lot of leftovers. Oh, my goodness.
They had baskets.
Oh, my God.
They're so cool.
Oh, my goodness. So that's what I saw. I saw
wow,
you.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's funny
okay,
the way that God uses me prophetically. I mean, it's not the same like everybody else. Some other people have these eloquent wording, but he just shows me pictures. And it's amazing the way they relate to what he's already showing you and others. Wow. Wow. So apparently.
And then the other thing, I had an ask for confirmation because I have to get up early
mm-hmm.
where I have to go tomorrow. And they wanted
mm-hmm.
me to be there at 9 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That means I got to get up at 6 and 7, you know,
mm-hmm.
and get started. So I said, Lord, just give me confirmation if you want me to be there or not. So there's another thing.
There you go. There
I gotta
you
go.
Go
to work.
Yes, confirmation. You don't need any more. So, wow. Wow.
Praise
wow.
God. Because I wasn't going to raise my hand. So I was just reading the word, studying. And I said, Lord, give me a word. And that's what he gave me like a couple of hours before I had pushed one. So,
wow.
Okay.
Wow, wow, wow. See, the latter years, your latter years will be greater than your former years. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Danny, do you have anything for Miss Barbara?
No, I'm just right in tune with her because I've been in Luke myself. So all the ones that you're reading, I had read today. So, amen.
Wow.
Oh,
go,
really?
Go forward.
Well, did you say Luke 17 and something? What was your word?
Luke 17:21, and it was
okay.
Kind of what you just said at the end there. Nor will they say, see here. Or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.
Wow.
Yes, it is. Wow. That's that bread.
Oh,
that bread of life. Oh, my goodness. I mean, for somebody else, it might not make sense, but that's not a coincidence. These things are not
that's
a coincidence.
Right.
Wow.
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 I'm just excited.
Yes, I would too. I'll be excited too. Thank you, Jesus. So there's your confirmation. You got to go.
Thank you, Lord.
What he's telling you to do.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's awesome.
Obedience. Obedience is the key.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Wow. Do you have your message already for that, what you're going to do?
No, usually if they say something, the Lord used me in a different way. I'll just open my mouth, and he feels it, and I just take off.
mm-hmm. All
because
right.
It's enough, you know, it's enough bread to, you know, I just take off, and he feels it. And I don't question it. I just speak it. Yes, ma'am.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Wow, 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 wow. Do you have anything that you want prayer for or you want to give a testimony? You know I love testimony.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted prayer for Tori, for God to restore everything, and then I'll give my testimony.
Okay. And Tori is? I mean,
my daughter. I have three
okay.
of them, so, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Father God, for Tori. We ask you, Father God, to restore. Her mother's asking for restoration of everything, Father God. Nothing's impossible with you, my God.
you can turn things around in one day, in a suddenly. And so, Lord, we just ask you, Father God, to turn Tori's life, turn it, and restore it. And, Lord, that it won't go back, but it will always go forward in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for her life, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I sense the Lord is saying, come walk on the waters with me. You will not fail. You will not fail. Walk on the waters with me, Tori, is what I'm hearing the Lord say. You will not fail. You will not fail. Walk on the waters with me. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. I just see like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know how Peter was on the boat and Jesus is on the water and he's calling Peter out. He's calling Tori out. Walk, come on, walk. You won't fail. Walk. Come on, the waters with me. And he wants her there. Amen. And Danny, do you have anything for Tori?
I'm just following on yours. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's a song
that says, come on and walk on the waters with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. You will not fail. And I can't remember the rest.
That was beautiful.
If I find it, for next week, I'll see if I can find it. Walk on the waters. I don't know who sang that. It must be an old song because I remember all these old songs. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miss Barbara, go ahead. Get your testimony.
Well, I'm just grateful for her. I asked God to heal her body. She delivered very early, and so she helped with the baby. The Lord blessed her to have a whole little person that weighed 2 pounds and 5 ounces. She's been moving around. Well, Tori's been getting up, moving, and doing all her chores and errands. And I asked God to restore her body, make her whole. And she's been doing everything, taking care of everything. And she said, Mama, she said, I must did pretty good because I took 30 bottles of milk to the NIC, you know, for the intensive care for the little preemies. And she said, they told me don't bring no more milk. I said, what? I said, God will supply all of your needs. So I just thank God for that. Amen. That was the testimony that I was waiting for her to give. Amen.
Another
so I've been pretty
baby.
Busy. Yes, so tiny. My oldest daughter, that's about 42 or something, I don't know. But she weighed 2 pounds and 4 ounces, and this baby weighed 2 pounds and 5 ounces. And I said,
wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
She was 7 months
so the baby
when she
out
had the baby. Well, they took it. Ma'am?
Is the baby still in the hospital or at home?
Yes, she's in the hospital, and we prayed for Tori to come home early. Because she, you know, she has a lot to do. So I just pray that God would touch her body and make sure everything heals properly. And I told her, get lots of sleep, even though she's doing a lot of running and ripping. But I told her, get lots of sleep. God would strengthen her legs to move about and do some things. And she's the one driving me to church tomorrow. So I am grateful for that.
Do you go
know,
spend
right?
time with the baby?
No, they're not ready for the grandparent.
Okay.
To come
does
up
the mama
there
get to go?
the mother and father get to go.
Yeah, I recommend that they do go and touch the baby. That if that's all they can do, they can just touch the baby, because it's there is something about that that brings health, the touch, human touch. Anoint her hands as she goes. Now she'll lay hands on the baby so that the baby, you know, will come home and be
healthy,
ready to,
and
you know, be with the family. Yes. But there is something about the human touch. Yes, and that baby feeling, and even with animals, animals do so much better when they have the touch. Even if it's a human touch and not from their species, they do so much better. So, you know, I know she has a lot of stuff to do, but have her spend time with the baby as much as she can
so that
baby can, you know, switch off with the daddy and have the daddy go and just touch the baby and talk to the baby. If they don't let you touch him, talk to the baby.
They actually hold the baby. They get to hold the baby. She's growing so fast, so they let them hold it and talk and spend time, because when she's not there, he comes. And they spend quite a few hours with the baby.
Yes, it's important.
It takes time.
Very important. Before, they didn't allow parents to go in there or hold their babies when they were born, or the family, they would just show them.
Touch. Yeah, I think, like you said, the first week or two was just the touch.
Yeah.
And after that, they saw how fast he was going. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, as soon as they allow somebody, you know, family in, you run over there and touch that baby. And Father, we just pray for that baby right now. We pray that baby will feel touched, Father God, by your angels, Father God, that will protect that baby, that will give that baby what that baby needs, that emotional support, Father God, that human touch, Father God, that we just pray that a nurse will come in there and just touch that baby when there's nobody else there, that baby will be touched and spoken to in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that your presence be there with that child. And we thank you, Father God, for that growth in that child's body in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Father, that baby will grow to the point where they can release the baby and that baby can be with family, Father God, being hugged and touched and talked to. And we just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Oh, I wish I was over there. I would go and be with the baby. I love babies.
I do too. That's my number 11, so.
Whoa. Number 11.
It makes number 11 a completion.
Wow. So you're an expert at this already.
Yes, because I'll be the first one they want to watch. Mommy, I got to go back to the hospital for a checkup. Can you watch the baby? Mom, can you come over? Yeah.
And who better than you? Yeah.
That's right. But speak the word over the baby.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Put that daily bread on the baby.
Congratulations, Grandma. And congratulations to Tori. God bless her. Is there anything else you'd like to say tonight?
No, I think that's it. I've gotten all my answers all week, and I just pray that they'll receive this word, receive the word that's in me, and that God will handle it, and that they will be obedient where I have to go, and put it in the Lord's hand.
Yes, Lord. Prepare the hearers, Father
God.
That God
will give me favor. Yeah.
Yes, Lord. And favor from Miss Barbara, Father God. She already has it, Father God.
just thank you. Prepare the hearing of the spiritual ears of the hearers, Father God, that it would just touch their hearts, Father God, that that message will be a transforming message, Father God. And we just thank you, because when you send, it's not for any old reason. There is a purpose and a plan that you have when you send your ministers to minister to people's lives. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit starts doing a work in people's hearts, Father God, even before that meeting, that when they hear the message being brought, Father God, that it will bring you glory, that it will touch their lives, and that they will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Daniel,
Thank you, Lord.
Do you have anything for Miss Barbara?
Miss Barbara, we just stand with you. I said, you know, like I said, the kingdom of God is within you. And I'm sure that all those that you're going to be preaching to will be listening. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Miss Barbara.
Thank you, guys.
It's always a pleasure.
Love you, guys. God bless y'all.
Love you, too. All right.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay. 202. Oh, I did. I prayed over them already. I'll come back to them. But let me pray over 951-966, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Regina. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me put you on mute. Give me one moment here. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for the authority you have given her, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just see you, holding like a staff, like with a ball on the top, and it's like you're speaking some words, you're declaring and decreeing some words, and I see that the spirit realm, the enemy is listening real good, and they're shuddering. That's what I'm seeing. They're shuddering, and you're taking that staff. It's like a staff with a round ball on the top. It's like it's like gold on the top, and you're declaring and decreeing with that, like you're shaking that in the air. You're shaking that in the air and in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Daniel, do you have something for Regina?
Yeah, it probably follows what you're thinking. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So this is the time, and this is the Lord's purpose, whatever he's going to have you face. Amen.
Okay. Amen. I don't know, but I see her like shaking that, like that staff. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Regina, hi. How are you?
Amen. Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. How are, what's going on?
Who's that? What's going on? Well, a lot. God is just moving. Just moving in our lives. We see it. But I do want to ask for prayer for my stepbrother. His name is Julian, but we call him Kite. He's having, his mom called me and said he's having a problem with alcohol addiction, so I want to try to get him help. I wanted to
Okay.
Just going to pray over him.
Okay. Everybody that's listening, help me join in prayer for Kite, you said?
Kite. Yeah, we call it Kite.
Okay. Father God, lovingly, Lord, we lift up Kite, Regina's stepbrother, Father God, her brother, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for his life, Father God. We just ask you, Father God, that you bring connections and you connect him with the right people, Father God, to help him, Father God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bind that spirit of alcoholism in him, Father God. We bind it in Jesus' name. And I just ask you, Father God, that you will give him divine connections, Father God, people that will he can connect with, Father God, to help him, Father God, through this season, Father God, so that he will be set free, totally set free. There's some people that are set free quickly, but there's some that for some reason they need more time, more like tender loving care to bring them to the place where they can be strong. They learn how to be strong. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just connect them with the right people. And we just pray, Father God, that you, these spirits of alcoholism will be bound for a season until he gets that deliverance, Father God, that he needs. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray. We just pray, Father God. Yeah, he needs to be surrounded by good people that would keep him accountable and help him.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs that season. Some people can do it quickly and they're okay and they'll maintain their deliverance. But there's other people that need, you know, more care and more gentleness because of, I don't know, maybe their personalities or the things, the traumas that they have gone through. But I sense that your brother needs, you know, people to pull alongside of him to, you know, give him that extra time, that extra care so that he'll learn how to be strong in the Lord. You know, the Lord works in different ways, but this is the way that I'm sensing for your brother. He needs that time. He needs that time, that the people around him that will help him to, you know, to get to that place. For some reason, he needs that. So we thank you, Father God, for tight. Father God, make him tight with the brothers that are full of the Spirit, Father God. Make tight with brothers that are full of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, with cords that cannot be broken, tight. Make their relationships tight, Father God, with unity, with the unity of the Lord. We just thank you, Rabo Shotala Mekia, Rabo Shandala Nakai, Rabo Shandala Nakai, Rabo Shandala Nakai. Maybe that's what I'm sensing, that with you praying and decreeing certain things over, and it's probably for your family. It's your family that you're praying and decreeing and declaring things over. And so, yeah. And that's part of the warfare. That's part of the things that you're removing and placing by what you decree in the name of Jesus. And I sense that you know how to do that. I sense you know how to do that. You continue doing that. The enemy is shaking. The enemy is shaking. You underestimate your authority. You don't realize that you know how to use your authority in the Lord. You underestimate it. You don't think sometimes that it's that you're doing anything, but you are. You are. You are. You underestimate what God has put in you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. That's what I see. I see the enemy
like shaking, oh no, and you're like taking that staff, and it's like a gold staff, and you're like declaring and decreeing over it, like you're shaking it at the enemy, letting them know, this is what I decree in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And it's not what you're decreeing, Regina. It's what the Lord is putting in you to say, to decree. It's his words. It's his words.
Mm-hmm.
So know that it's not you. It's the Lord in you, speaking through you.
Yes.
So I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what's being decreed, declared and decreed in the atmosphere, changing the atmosphere of the of her family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel, do you have anything for Regina?
Yes, Father God, I lift up my brother Julian tight, Father God. Lord, that you show me that he needs to forgive himself, Father God. I have no idea what he just needs to forgive himself. Others have forgiven him, Lord, but he needs to, you know, look at himself and forgive himself. His name means youthful. Let him think back to his younger days, Father God. Let him just skip over the rough times, Father God. Let him forgive himself, Lord. Let those that love on him, Lord, they've all forgiven him, Father God. We all stumble, Father God. There's no one perfect other than yourself, Lord. So, Father God, we just need for him to look in the mirror and know that, okay, what's happened, happened. He's, you know, moved forward, Lord, and not to be, you know, held back by whatever those restraints are, Father God. We break those in the name of Jesus, Father God. All those things holding him back, Lord, holding his mind in that lock, Father God. We unlock his mind, Lord. Bring back that youthfulness that his name means, Father God, and that he sees that the family is still with him, Father God. No one's ever left him, Father God. You know, he probably thinks that he's embarrassed them or something, Lord. No, Father God. It's just some tough times, Lord. And we lift him up, Father God, and just ask that, you know, we stand for him, Lord, that he forgives himself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Is he a believer?
He is, yes. But, you know, he used to play professional baseball, and then a lot of his habits and gotten away. So what you were praying is absolutely correct. Right on the spot. He feels embarrassed and thinks that, right? Thinks he's let people down, family down. It's like, no. You know, we still love you for who you are. But, yeah. Because he played professional baseball and then.
Just keep praying over him, declaring and decreeing and doing warfare as the Lord leads you. But yeah, that's what I sense. He needs people to, men. I sense men to, you know, come alongside of him. Not so much the women or the women family, but men. Mm-hmm. Men. Is he involved in church?
I don't think he is right now, no.
Mm-hmm. Does he go to a church that you go to, or?
No, he lives in Arizona right now. He doesn't live in the same state I'm in.
Okay. So, Father God, we just pray that you'll give him divine connection, that he'll meet people that will invite him to church, or give him also a desire to go to church, Father God. We just ask you in the name of Jesus, give him new friends. And Father God, but any friends that are detrimental to his walk, Father God, that pull him away from really walking with you, Lord, just remove them out of his feet, Father God, that replace them with good people,
godly people, Father God, people that are compatible, people that are that will understand, that will love him, that truly will love him, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, send them those people, Father God. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. We'll continue praying for him. Do you have a testimony? Anything you want to say, a word?
Well, today I went to this to a seminar. This is a seminar. And it was very encouraging. I was able to see, his name is Nick. I don't remember his last name. He's the gentleman that was born without limbs. He was born without arms and legs.
Yeah, Nick.
Yes, his last name is
Volzig
or something like that. I don't know his name.
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce it. It begins with a V.
Yeah.
So his testimony
I know
was,
who you're talking about.
His testimony was interesting, and just to watch how God is blessing him, and just that was just encouraging, you know, because he's saying, you know, what's holding you back? Like, you know, people have arms and limbs that can get around, and he doesn't, and he's just showing how he's going around and just spreading the gospel and helping people. So that was really encouraging and to hear.
Oh, wow. So you got to be in the conference.
I felt
that he spoke in.
Yeah. Yeah, I was blessed to.
Oh, I'm listening to some of his preaching. He'll have people in tears. He'll have young people, kids crying.
Yeah, he's amazing. His story is good.
He got married and has kids
God.
Too.
Yeah, he has, I think, four kids.
Already? Wow.
Yeah, I think it's four. I think he has four. Two and two. Yeah, he has a set of twins. I think he has a set of twins and then two boys, I think. Yeah.
Wow. God has really blessed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I watched him when he was just a young man. I haven't caught up with his ministry lately. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
No, and this man just has these little, he calls them drumsticks for feet. All he has is a trunk. That's all. He doesn't have arms nor legs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he had, you know, and look, he's a blessed man because he trusts in the Lord. It doesn't mean that everything has been easy for him. It hasn't.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
he trusts in God, and look how God has blessed him. I didn't know about all that. I didn't know that he had twins and all. Wow.
Yeah.
God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Have you sent that video to a video of this gentleman to your brother? I'm just sensing that.
I haven't. I was just. Just got back like maybe 2 hours ago from the seminars. No, I haven't.
Mm.
But I will. I'll share.
Yeah, there's
share
a lot of videos. Yeah, just type in his name. You'll see a lot of videos on this gentleman. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I've seen him before, but I never really heard him speak. Like, I never listened to any of his stuff before. So it was good.
Yeah.
He's really good. I like him. Mm-hmm.
He's gone to schools, and he'll have a kid crying and coming up to him and hugging him. And, wow, I mean, he has a tremendous testimony. He loves the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He does love the Lord.
Yes,
wow.
He has people there. He's like, whoever, I've been to your school or been to your job or been to your church. A lot of people stood up. So I was like, wow. I didn't know he had gone to schools before to speak, but that's great. Yes.
Wow. I need to look him up and see what's going on. He's amazing. He's amazing. Wow.
He
send that to your brother.
Yes,
and see, you know, if this man can do this with arms and legs, you have arms and legs, and you can do more in Jesus'
right.
name. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow, thank you for mentioning that. Wow, that's awesome that you got the chance to see that. Wow.
Yeah, it was so... Yeah, I was impressed. He's good. You know, he's what he's talking about. Very motivational and encouraging. And, yeah.
Well,
if we have nothing to complain.
Yeah, he just hops around. You have to move him in the little car, our little cart. But he's funny. He's hilarious. He starts with his joking. He has people laughing.
Right.
Very, very. And he says that life hasn't always been. He's had, I think, surgeries and different things to help him. Wow. But God has blessed him with 4 children. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. See what God can do?
Yeah.
Wow. If you think you can't find love, look, this young man found love. If you think you can't have kids, look, this man has 4 kids. God has done the impossible. Wow.
Yeah, you see how hard it was going to school. But he made it through.
Wow, that's amazing. Now you got me wanting to look at his videos.
It's very interesting.
You always got good stuff.
Yeah, he's good. He was saying God had really blessed him, and he was just showing how he was using the principles in the Bible. So he was giving scriptures, and then he was saying even though he was being bullied at school, he was saving his money, and he started helping. I think people like in Africa or some other place in the money. And God was just blessing him. He said he bought his first house at 19 years old.
Wow.
So he was just showing how he was working the principles in the Bible and how he was helping other people, and God was blessing him.
You know, that is true. You know, when you help others, you come out of your own self, and you pay attention to what other, and then you realize that what you were worried about or what you were, you know, obsessed about or, you know, hurting about is really nothing compared to what other people are going through. So if you're depressed, go help other people. All that will go away. Serve. And that usually gets people motivated, you know. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect to be able to be used by God. Just being used by God, everything else falls into place. Danny, do you have anything that you want to say?
I'll just keep Julian in my prayers, because I know that from an athletic standpoint that, you know, when you're touted as good and then you feel that, you know, you weren't able to accomplish it, that's a heavy burden on someone. So now that, you know, you mentioned that, I'll keep him definitely in my prayers. And I'm like Carmen, I just hope that he runs into the right guys that have had similar challenges, and that they're able to talk to him from experience. Father God, we just ask that you do surround him with others that can share that they were there and they pushed through, Father God. He just needs to, again, you know, forgive himself and just push through, Father God. We just ask that you send him the godly men, as Carmen says, that will just even invite him to go play, Father God. Maybe he still has that, you know, some youth left. They go up into the old ages nowadays playing baseball and stuff. So let him be invited by the right people just to get that spirit of, you know, what he was good at in his youthful days, Father God. We just ask that you... But to be with him, Lord. Focus on those that come around him in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, soldiers go through that too when they retire.
or they've been in the military for so long and then they get out into civilian life, they're so, you know, they see themselves as a soldier, you know, and they can't see themselves as anything else. And so they have a hard time adjusting to civilian life. Especially those that retired that have been there for a long time, they really do struggle. And so their identity has to come from the Lord. And once that thing is broken off by knowing who they are in Christ, then they know that it's not the military, a position, or something that they did that makes them who they are, but they are what God says they are. And so I think his identity is needs working on knowing who he is in Christ. And Lord, we just pray that you would help him, Father God, that he would search you like never before, and that he will find out who he is in Christ. Father God, and I pray that you set him free as he reads your word, and I pray that you just give him a hunger and a thirst for your word, that he would hunger and thirst for your word, Father God, for your presence, Father God, like never before. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for leading and guiding him with your spirit, in Jesus' name. And we just pray, Father God, for all those that are listening, for their own family members, Father God, for their brothers and their sisters that don't know you or that are backslidden and far away, that you would do the same thing, that you would just draw them in. Father God, giving them a thirst and hunger. You know how when you're hungry for food and when you take a bite of that meal, it's like, oh, that's just the best meal. I pray that when they start seeking you, thank you, Lord. Then when they start seeking you, Father God, that they'll say, this is good, and that they want more, and that it will just pull them for more, that they will taste the things of the Lord and love it and want more of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else you like? You're welcome. And thank you for calling. You have a blessed week this week. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. All right.
Thank you. Okay. God bless you.
God bless. All right. I have time for another caller. If you raise your hand, I won't pick your number unless you raise your hand. All right. If not, I'll end the show. I'm just waiting here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's been a whole lot of callers going in and out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me make sure that I have everybody here. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm going to try this one again. 202-557, your name and where you're from. 202-557. I think I tried them before. Okay, I guess they're sleeping. Okay. And we prayed over them. Anyone else needs prayer? Okay. All right. Well, I'm getting ready to close the show, but if there's time for another caller, if you want prayer ministry, raise your hand. Oh, okay. I see it. Somebody raised their hand. Okay. Your name and where you're from? 254-541. Your name and where you're from? Five four one. Your name and where you're from?
Yes, it's just me. I'm from Texas. That's the name. It's just me.
It's just me. Okay. Okay, give me a minute, and I'll mute you, and I'll come back. Thank you, Lord, for It's Just Me. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this sister, Father God. We just thank you, Father God. Daniel, do you have anything for It's Just Me?
Not yet. Sorry.
You know what I'm sensing? That you're crying out to the Lord. That you're crying out to the Lord, and you're talking to God, and you're saying, you know, Father, I'm here. You know, do you hear me? And God says, yes, I hear you. He hears you. He hears you. And he sees what you're going through. He sees what you're going through. And he's there with you. You just need to speak. Open your mouth and say what it is that you need from him. Be clear. Be specific. So when he does answer your prayer, you know it was him. Because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to speak it. To speak what it is that you need from him. Be very specific. God is, I'm telling you. One time I was praying for another sister that had the same name that I had. And I was praying. And I was asking God to give her a baby. But I was saying, give Carmen a baby. And do you know that the Lord told me that she was going to have a baby? I told him she was going to have a baby. And like a few weeks later, she was pregnant. And then I was pregnant. So that teaches me that I have to be careful how I pray, because I said Carmen. But God bless both Carmen. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for It's Just Me. I'm seeing you just standing there, you know, talking to God. It's just me, God. It's just me standing in the need of prayer. And God says, yes, speak it. Speak it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for It's Just Me. You're not just me. You are. You belong to God. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. Daniel, do you have anything for It's Just Me?
I went to Psalm 128:1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So as you reach out to him more and more, and as Carmen says, you know, what your specifics in your prayers, he's there. He's listening, and he will respond. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get her on. Hi.
That's awesome. Hi, that's all I needed. That's what I needed. Thank you.
Amen. Would you like to give a testimony or anything that you need prayer for?
Y'all covered it. Y'all covered everything. Thank you. Y'all covered it. Both of you, you covered it. That's all I needed.
All right. Is there anything else you need, you know, want to say? Nothing else?
No, nothing else. Y'all covered it. Both of y'all covered it. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Appreciate you.
Okay. God bless you. It's just me.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Is there anyone else that needs prayer tonight? I have time for one more. I'll make time for if there's more than one, but I need you to raise your hand by dialing 1 on the keypad on your phone, and it'll bring you into the queue, and that way it'll raise a hand, and I know that you need ministry tonight. If not, I'll close the show. I'm going once, going twice. No, this is not an option. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together in your name. We ask you to bless the listeners and those that are going to be listening to this recording in the future. We ask you, Father God, to bless them and keep them, Father God, and guide them in your word, that they will know exactly what they need to do by listening to your word, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for the counsel of the godly. And Lord, we just pray that you place those that are godly in their way, that they will be guided by those that are the godly, the counsel of the godly. That's what I'm getting. And so we thank you, Father God, because there's victory in the midst of godly advisors in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, and let them have a great week and bless them in Jesus' name. Daniel, do you have anything you want to pray about?
I just also pray blessings and the Lord's favor over everyone, the PGM family, all the other listeners. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Father God. And I just ask you to cover all of our listeners, Lord, with your wings, Father God, that they, whatever comes at them, Father God, that they'll be blocked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. And we have a special blessing for Prophet Randy, Father God, for his obedience, Lord. We just pray that you give him more and more for your people, Father God, and just watch over him and his family, Father God. Lead him and guide him, Father God, in all the things that you want him to do, Father God. I just pray it's a hedge of protection around him, Father God, and keep him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody. And those are all the callers tonight. Then we're done. God bless you. You have a wonderful week. Good night.